trusting his mind for the service, and all of a sudden he dropped this in my spirit. I want to leave it with you today. I believe God has something in store for us. Luke 24 and 49, Jesus spoke the words to his disciples. He said, go to Jerusalem and tarry there until you be endued with power from on high. Go to Jerusalem and tarry there until you be endued. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again for the service today. Already we have been blessed. Already, Lord, we can say we have sat together in heavenly places with you, and we have eaten heavenly manna. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. We thank you for what you have done. Thank you for what you're going to do. We ask you, Lord, let this word come alive in our hearts and in our lives. Transform us, Lord. Lift us up. Shift us in the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Tarry ye until. Tarry ye until ye be endued with power from on high. Friend, listen to me today. You and I will never mature spiritually until God's words to us are taken personally. Look at somebody and say, neighbor, I love you. So listen to what I'm saying. Take it personal. The word of God will never change you. It will never mature you. We will never mature spiritually until God's words are taken personally as they are written. Amen. Say again. Say, neighbor. Take it personal. Just like it's written. It seems, listen now, follow with me, okay? Now, if this seems a little strong, then look in the mirror, because you've been praying for me. You've been praying for the fire. You've been praying for God to pour it on me. So this is where it came from. It seems that we all, and see, I included myself in that, we all have this ability to take God's word and sift it until all that's left is what we like. What is comfortable and convenient, what's easy on our flesh, and what's pleasant. It seems that somewhere between our ears and our hearts is this sifter that sifts out all the commandments, all the conviction, until all we're left with is suggestions and blessings and the things that we want to do and the things that feel good. Now look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, hold on. Say, it's starting to get rough. We're going to hit some turbulence. That's why our churches today, many of our churches, are full of spiritual midgets and dwarfs that should be and could be men and women of great spiritual stature. They should have and could have great spiritual power and authority, but because they don't eat any but spiritual cream of wheat, are spiritual dwarfs. Now look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, he's not talking about me. That's right. He's not talking about me. Now stay with me. They should be and could be mighty warriors, but they are Gerber babies. I heard the Holy Spirit. That's what he told me. They're Gerber babies. I said, God, what do you mean Gerber babies? He said, I mean cute, but no power. By now, they should be spiritual warriors, but instead, they're spiritual wimps. They've been raised on strained bananas and pureed prunes. Because they wouldn't take the word of God as it is. Look at your neighbor and say, take it as it is. Take it as it is. Say, take it by the prescription. Now watch. When we take God's Word as it is, it comes loaded with vitamins and nutrients. It comes in a form that requires you to exercise your muscles and use your teeth. It comes loaded with protein and power. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He meant if you will take them and chew them up and digest them, they will grow you up. They will build His life into you. They will build His character into you. They will build His anointing and His power into you. My job as the pastor of this church is not to see to it that your diet is always cream of wheat and pureed peas and carrots, but to serve and to set the table with some filet mignon and some prime rib and some pork chops and some T-bone steaks, along with some broccoli, along with some spinach, along with some green beans, so you can grow up. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, eat your broccoli and your steak so you can grow up. Let me tell you something. If you're able to digest everything I give you in the same service, I need to go deeper. Say it again. If you're able to fully digest everything I give you in the same service you get it, I need to go deeper. Because you should leave with your mouth full, still chewing. Think. Everybody say you got to go spiritual on this. You should leave with your mouth full, still chewing, thinking, and meditating on what has been said. All through the week, that word should be stirring in you, exciting you, inspiring you to pray and to read and study God's Word for yourself. Amen. Look at you and say, neighbor, Gerber babies are cute, but you need to grow up. Hallelujah. Now watch. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, the Bible says, He commanded His disciples. He commanded, spoke to over 500 people, let's say at least. He spoke to them. He commanded them to go to Jerusalem and not depart from there until they received the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, go to Jerusalem and stay there until you receive the promise. For you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Stay there until you be endued with power from on high. Stay there until you be clothed upon, until you be arrayed, until you be empowered and equipped with power from on high. Stay with me, friends. Jesus needed that endowment of power, and He received it in the River Jordan. When He came out of the Jordan River, when John was baptizing Him, the Bible says John saw the heavens open. He said he saw the Spirit of God descending upon Jesus in the form of a dove. And the Bible said God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with Him. Jesus needed that endowment of power. He received it in the River Jordan. If the very begotten Son of God needed that supernatural endowment of power, how much more do you and I need it today? Out of at least 500 people, Jesus spoke these words, and to only 120 out of the 500 made it to the upper room. That means 300 people, 380 people that heard Jesus speak thought they had a better idea and bypassed the upper room. Listen, friend, you cannot bypass the upper room and get His power. Amen. There is no alternative route to the power of God. You must go to the upper room and you must wait until the power comes. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and say, neighbor, you need the power. Wait until it comes. Jesus said, go and wait. to climb up to the upper room means. I agree with Jesus. I will obey His commands. I will ask. I will wait. I will knock. I will pray. I will hunger. I will thirst. I will worship. And I will wait until the power comes. Oh, Hasatalabahai. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. After 10 days of waiting in concerted prayer, suddenly heaven responded. Earth cried out and heaven answered. The Bible said, suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and cloven tongues like as a fire set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Tongues of fire came upon their heads, and tongues of fire, their tongues became on fire in their mouths. Oh, Kosatiahai. Come on and lift your hands. I feel the Holy Ghost. Shalabadabosataya. Idalabasatalabahai. I'm pressed. I'm pressed in my spirit today to tell you that the only church that's going to make a difference in this world that we're living in this time in history, and this only church that's going to make an eternal impact for the kingdom of God, is the church that has been to the upper room. The church that has the wind of God and the wind of the Holy Ghost pushing them, and tongues of fire upon them, and tongues of fire in their mouths. Jesus said, this is the route to power. You can recalculate. How many's ever heard your GPS? Recalculate. 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 Well, you can recalculate all you want, but it will never change. This is the prescription. You've got to go to Jerusalem. You've got to get in the upper room, and you've got to stay there and wait until the power comes. 120 men and women were filled with the Spirit and power because they obeyed the Master's command. Listen to me. No one has the authority or the power to rewrite the Master's command. No one has the authority or the right to rewrite the Master's words. The church today, to a large degree, is powerless because they have bypassed the upper room. We have Pentecostal over our doors, and churches are known as Pentecostal churches, but churches that used to be Pentecostal, and you walked inside and they were 95% or 85% Pentecostal, today are about 15% Pentecostal. We call ourselves Pentecostal, but don't know what the fire of God is. Call ourselves Pentecostal, but we haven't been to the upper room. We don't have tongues of fire. We haven't experienced the wind of God. We haven't experienced the Holy Ghost. We've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost. We've never spoken of the tongues that the Spirit gave us utterance. We don't know anything about the power, but we claim to be Pentecostal. Now, it's not everybody, I know, but that's talking to a large segment of our churches today. The church today, to a large degree, is powerless because they bypassed the upper room. They've chosen alternate routes that are easier on the flesh, that don't require waiting or praying or sacrifice or self-denial. And what we're left with is a powerless church of Gerber babies, cute, but no power. I am not campaigning for Gerber Baby of the Year.
Amen.
I'm not looking for my poster in hell where the devil points to it and says, isn't he cute? I'm looking for my poster in hell where they throw darts at it. And where they say, he's ugly, but man, is he a problem for us. See, that's not, none of that's in my notes, see. They're just getting that fresh, whoo, download. A form of godliness is what the Bible says. Talking to the church. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to the church. He said they got a form of godliness, but they deny the power. In other words, they're cute. They got a religious form, but they got no power. 120 men and women were filled with the Spirit and power. Do you know why only 120 out of 500? You know why? Because only 120 were willing to be emptied. Emptied. That's what happened in that upper room. That's what happened when they were waiting. They didn't even know what it was going to look like. They didn't know what the promise was going to look like. They didn't know what it was going to feel like. They didn't know what it was going to do inside of them. They just knew Jesus said, you need it. I got it. You need it. Get to the upper room and don't leave until you get it. Yeah. Woo! Hallelujah! Used to people would get saved, man. As soon as they got saved, they wanted the Holy Ghost. And it was upon us, it was incumbent upon us as ministry to tell people as soon as they get saved, as soon as they got washed in the blood, you need the fire of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. First thing Paul and the disciples asked them, they found out they had received Christ. They said, have you received the Holy Ghost that you believed? They said, we didn't even know there was such a thing as the Holy Ghost. And they didn't say, well, we're going to have to put you through 5 years of Bible college and then you can get the Holy Ghost. Now the Bible said they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues and prophesied. Woo! Emptied. The Holy Ghost is preaching me hard. Emptied. Only 120 were willing to be emptied. Emptied of opinions. Emptied of traditions. Emptied of self. Emptied of pride. Emptied of religion. Emptied of the world. Emptied of prejudice. Emptied of carnal expectations. And as soon as they were emptied, the Holy Spirit filled them. The Spirit came and filled them. That's why we don't have more Spirit filling today. People aren't willing to be emptied. They're full of pleasure, full of self, full of pride, full of tradition, full of religion, full of fear, full of preconceived ideas. That's why we have in the church what we call an altar. They used to call it the mourner's bench. Not just because sinners mourn their way to repentance, but also because saints mourn when their flesh is being killed. I tell you what, when the Holy Ghost comes and starts killing flesh, there'll be a lot more mourning. You hear a lot more wailing. Because I'm telling you what, flesh don't die easy. Sometimes flesh goes to squealing like a pig. Sometimes flesh goes to whining. Flesh goes to crying and wailing. Because flesh don't want to die. And their flesh is being burned up. The smell of burning human flesh is horrible, I know that. But spiritually, God loves the smell of our flesh burning up. It's a sweet incense in His nostrils. He loves to smell it when our flesh burns up. He loves to smell it when our self-preconceived ideas get burned up. He loves to smell it when pride is being burned up on the altar. You know what stands between a lot of people and the power of God is nothing but pride. I'm afraid what people will say about me. I'm afraid what people will think about me. I'm afraid that my makeup might run. I'm afraid that my hair might get out of place. My friend, that's pride. And pride stinks. And pride will kill you. And pride will keep you from the blessings and the promises of God. Nothing repulses the Lord more than flesh that refuses to die. The Bible says, 138, Psalms 138 and 6, the Lord hath respect unto the lowly, the humble, but the proud He knoweth afar off. You know what that means? That means God draws near to the humble and the lowly.
But the proud stink and he keeps them at a distance.
He don't want to be close to pride. It stinks. Look at somebody, say neighbor. Pride stinks. Say humility. Smells good. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says before honor is humility. But pride goes before destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride stinks. God keeps his distance from the prideful. I will knock. I will pray. I will hunger. And I will thirst. And I will worship. And I will wait until the power comes. And I'm not just talking about speaking in tongues. Some of us have spoken in tongues and we've never touched power. Some of us have spoken in tongues and we've never experienced the power of God. There is a major world of difference between speaking in tongues every now and then and having the power of God upon your life and flowing out of you like a river. Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Thus spake he of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
I feel an urgency in my spirit today to exhort you and the church, even more so to warn the church that we are sailing through perilous waters today. And a church without power is in a dangerous place. A church without the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire is a church without power. I love you. I want you to like me, but I'm not going to rewrite Jesus' words or dilute them or parade them until they're unrecognizable. Jesus said the church must have power. And the source of this power is the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please understand, friend, that the war is no longer in a distant land. It's no longer in faraway countries overseas. It is in our country, in our state, in our community, in our schools, and in our homes. It's a spiritual battle. It cannot be won with natural flesh and blood weapons. It must be fought in the spirit. And the only ones who can fight on that level are those who are full of the Holy Ghost and power. You better get full of the Holy Ghost because the devil is mad and the devil is coming at you. And he's coming after your family. And he's coming after your children. He's coming after our schools. He's coming after our government. We have got to get full of the Holy Ghost. It is the will of God that every single person who has been plunged beneath Calvary's flow, washed in his blood, also be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. That's why the blood comes. The blood comes to create a dwelling place for his power. The blood comes to make this body a fit dwelling place so the Holy Spirit can move on the inside and live in you and work through you.
Amen.
That's what it comes for. It's not optional accessory. That's the way some people look at tongues today. It's like optional accessory. Power windows. Well, I don't have to have power windows. I can just use the crank. Power lock. Oh, I don't have to have power locks. I just swipe it down, pull it up when I need it. Well, it's quiet. I'm in the wrong church. It's like accessories. We treat the Holy Ghost like it's an accessory. Treat the Holy Spirit like and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking of the tongues, like it's some kind of accessory, an addition that if you want it, you add it. If you don't, you don't need it. You can make it without it. My friend, listen to me. We are moving into perilous times. We are living in perilous times, and we are sailing through perilous waters, and the church that's going to stand, and the church that's going to shine, and the church that's going to make an impact, and the church that's going to make a difference, it's not the church that's just looking for the easy way out. It's the church that is full of the power
power of God. It's a church that has made their way up to the upper room. It's a church that has got a hold of God. It's a church that's interceded. It's a church that said, I won't let you go until you rest me. I won't let you go until you baptize me with the same Holy Ghost. It was in Jesus' life.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you full of the Spirit? Be filled with the Spirit was the command of the apostle. Go to Jerusalem and stay there until you be endued with power was the command of Jesus. Not a suggestion. Not a good idea. Not even a God idea. A commandment. Oh, we don't like commands. We like, see, I'm back to where I started now. We got that sifter, see. And that sifter has the ability to hear the preacher preach, tell us that Jesus commanded it, but somehow our sifter sifts it out. And it gets down to a place where it, in our thinking it's an accessory. It's an accessory that you can get if you want it, and you don't have to have it. But if you want to go farther, then you need to get it. No, my friend, it's a necessity. It's a necessity. Don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself. Don't deceive yourself. Jesus said it. If it wasn't true, he wouldn't have said it. Every preacher that stands behind the sacred desk needs to proclaim to his people, Jesus said, get the power. Jesus said, go to Jerusalem and stay there until you be endued with power from on high. And if we treat the Holy Ghost, and we treat the baptism of the Holy Ghost like an accessory, it won't surprise me when the Holy Spirit lifts out of here and the Holy Spirit says, do it yourself if you think I'm an accessory. You do it yourself if you think you can make it on your own. Friend, I cannot make it. I can't do it. It's not an accessory. He's not an accessory. He's a necessity. Are you full of the Spirit? Or are you full of self, topped off with the little tongues? Are you full? Are you on fire? Does the fire of God burn in your belly? The only church that's going to stand in these dark days is the church that walks in the light of God's Word and are filled with His Spirit and with His power.
I'd rather be in a church of 50 people, full of the power, pursuing God, seeking God, hungering after God, thirsting after God, pulling on God, making a demand on heaven, than to be in the church of 5,000 that are comfortable, and 5,000 that are adjusted, and 5,000 that think the Holy Spirit is an accessory. Without the Holy Spirit, you're dead. You die. Oh, I didn't say you have to speak in tongues to be saved. I say you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost to stand and fight.
Amen.
I love you, every single one of you. But if I got a need, you know who I'm going to have to pray for me? Somebody who's full of the Holy Ghost. I love you, but the person that I know who has power to war Satan is the person who's full of the Holy Spirit. There's only one power greater than the power of the devil. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. If Jesus, the Son of God, required the Holy Spirit and didn't do anything until He came, never did a miracle, never healed a person, never opened a blind eye, never healed a headache, never did anything until the Word came up out of the water and the Holy Spirit came upon him. He went out into the wilderness, and the Bible says he was driven of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. But when he came back out of the wilderness, he came out in the power.
Amen.
Hey!
Amen.
Woo! or you come here to torment us. We know who you are. Yeah, you know who he is. He's full of Holy Ghost and power. No devil's ever cried out before the Holy Ghost came on him. No miracles ever happened before the Holy Ghost came. He was always the Son of God. He was the incarnate Son of God from the beginning. He was the Word incarnate, but no miracles until the Holy Ghost came on him, until he's walking in the power of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because he's the pattern. He's the model. He had to set the order for us. He had to show us the path and the way to go. So, in closing, with Jesus' words, tarry until you be endued with power from on high. People don't want to tarry. Now, I know that we don't have to wait for the promise of God. I know that it's already been given. Well, why tarry then? Here's why. Because I got to work my way through a bunch of stuff. Because I got to let God deal with stuff. And because sometimes stuff don't go easy. Sometimes self dies hard. I mean, remember when you were kids and maybe even on a silly sitcom you seen somebody die and they died for 3 minutes. And then they fell down, and even after they fell down, they're like, but you want to go over there? But our flesh is just that way. It does not want to die. So I got to take it to the altar. You know what the Bible says? It says, bind the sacrifice with cords to the altar. Why do I have to bind the sacrifice with cords to the altar? Because this sacrifice wants to jump up. Because this sacrifice, when it feels the heat, wants to get out of there.
That's right.
When you start dealing with attitudes, when you start dealing with unforgiveness, when you start dealing with jealousy, when you start dealing with religious pride, when you start dealing with preconceived ideas, when you start dealing with my habits that I love and my things that I enjoy, when you start dealing with those things, my flesh gets uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But you got to stay there and let it die. Only that which is empty can be filled. If Jesus were preaching to you this morning, he would say these exact same words. So, before you walk out of here, feathers ruffle. And you just being mean. Then understand, these are not my words. These are the words of the Master. And if he were here, he would tell you the same thing. He would say, go to Jerusalem, climb the stairs, get to that upper room, obey my words, take them as I have given them to you, don't sift through them, just chew them up and digest them, and get to the upper room and stay there until the power comes. If Jesus were preaching this morning, these are the words he would speak to you. He would say to you, arm yourself with my word. Take my promises in your hand. Make your way to the upper room. And don't come down till heaven opens and the fire falls. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. We pray about 5 minutes. And if we don't get a breakthrough, like, I want to tell you something. In my lifetime, to get to where I am, and I'm not near where I want to be, there's been long seasons of prayer. Long seasons of prevailing prayer. Long seasons where God dealt with attitudes in my heart and attitudes in my life. Long seasons where my flesh bucked and kicked and fought and argued and squealed. Can I tell you something? It's worth it. It's worth it. We're in a time, church, when every church ain't going to make it. I'm just going to be honest with you. Every church ain't going to make it. Every church ain't going to make it. You think that President Trump is going to be able to fix our country? You're wrong. Because it's not a physical problem. It's a spiritual problem. And that spiritual problem is not going away. That spiritual problem is becoming more aggressive all the time. So what does that mean? That the church has to step up. That means we have to take what God has given to us. We have to climb that upper room. And I'm not just talking about getting that initial baptism. I thank God for that initial baptism. But I'm talking about being saturated, being full. I'm talking about the power of God coming upon you. So when people get around you, they say, "No, God, I feel something when I'm around you. What is that? What is it? I don't understand what I'm feeling. What is that?" It's like there's something on you. That's why people used to be afraid to come to our churches, because they said they'll put something on you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah. They'll put something on you. I went there and I saw my brother went up there and they put something on him and it made him itch and it made him move around and it made him jump. Now it's the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It's the power of God. The Bible says when they came out to give Jesus, they said, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." He said, "I am he." And they went, boom. They all fell down flat on their back. Why? They were standing in the presence of omnipotence. They were standing in the presence of the King of glory, and the power of God emanated from him. Hey! Shataya. If there ever was a time when our churches, individually and collectively, needed the baptism and the power of the Holy Ghost, it's today. Come on, stand to your feet all over this building. And I'm including myself right here. I'm including myself in this. I am not satisfied. I want to climb that mountain. I want to climb those stairs to the upper room. I want to get in his presence. I want to stay there. I want to wait until I get a fresh fire, until I get a fresh baptism, until he consumes me. Until he possesses his vessel. Do you not know that you already belong to him? Your body is not your own. It's bought with a price, with the precious blood of Jesus. This body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It's time for him to possess his temple. We need to say, "Holy Spirit, come and possess your vessel." I want everybody in this house who realizes we need the power of God, who realizes we can't make it without the power of God, who realizes that you and me and the church without the power of God, we're sitting ducks. I want you to get up here. Come on, get up here quick. We need to pray. Look, your grandchildren are waiting on men and women of power. Your grandchildren need somebody that's got power to pray for them. Your children need somebody that's anointed of God to pray for them. Our country needs somebody that's anointed with the Holy Ghost and power to pray for them, that can break Satan's power off of their life, that can break the chains off of their life, that can destroy Satan's power out of their lives. They have got to have somebody that's got the power of the Holy Ghost in their life. Come on and pull on heaven.